This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharitz. A six-member task force has been created to investigate the total airport management system breakdown at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. And this is according to the Transport Ministry. It's going to be headed by the Transport Ministry's Secretary General, Datuk Muhammad Khairul Adib Abdul Rahman. And other members do include MAVCOM Executive Chairman and Commissioner, the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia's member as CEO, as well as the National Cybersecurity Agency.
So in a statement yesterday, Transport Minister Anthony Look said that the task force aims to investigate the cause and suggest improvement measures. They've been given a month to write a detailed report, which will be tabled in the cabinet. And I think this is serious enough to warrant that kind of attention, both by MAHB as well as the cabinet. This kind of glitches certainly does not bode well for the country.
Yeah, and at the same time, I think if we look at the front page of several newspapers, they are saying that, again, MAHB... it's not ruling out a possible cause of it as a result of malicious intent. On the downside, airlines will be seeking compensation from Malaysian MAHB as a result of this disruption and delays. An anonymous airline CEO said that the cost of this delay cost them over 6 million ringgit, and that's not it. Other airlines as well, they're looking at about 10 million ringgit worth of losses.
And not forgetting, passengers also cancelled flights, and some of them are seeking refunds. And right now, no official reason has been determined for this glitch, but sources did indicate that the core switch linking all of the information systems at KLIA broke down due to perhaps passing its lifespan. And actually, it's... if you have had friends who've been traveling over the weekend, and because this is a month of long weekends, we've even had amongst our Morning Run team several people going on holiday, and you see some of the pictures that they post of whiteboards and marker pens being used to transmit the baggage carousel that they're at. And I looked at it and thought, wow, this is amazing. We are in 2019, and we have resorted to whiteboards.
Yep, someone writing. I wonder how often it was updated, right? Just writing stuff on whiteboards. I think it's really going back in time here. But the other thing that I'm wondering is whether people bought insurance for this kind of thing, right? For this kind of unforeseen events, because you can get compensation for any sorts of delay. In fact, if your flights are being cancelled or missed, you should be compensated for it as well.
And the travel insurance is not that expensive, actually,
right? It's extremely cheap to get you just that kind of...
It's just a tack on to your ticket.
For the cost of the few bucks. And whether, if there is claims en masse, whether the insurance companies would in fact also sue MHB for that.
Yeah, so I mean, a number of companies are offering those insurance packages, isn't it? But I think it was just getting back into that point that you were saying, as in when was the last time the system was actually looked into? I mean, apparently experts are saying that it is an old system, and it was actually due for upgrade between the year 2012 and 2014. So it's 5 years
overdue,
and as the reason being is that it's been rejected several times. I mean, the request actually updated. So a backup. They do have a backup in place, but however, I'm not too sure what are the details, but they couldn't withstand overloading. So I don't know if it's overloading a capacity, because I don't know if KLIA 1 or KLIA 2 are actually reaching their capacity just yet.
And so compensations for airlines, passengers, as well as the overall cost, including the hardware change, could cost somewhere in the realm of hundreds of millions of ringgit. And of course, there have been complaints that if the upgrades were done earlier, perhaps the recent disruption and extra cost could have been avoided. But also in some other local news this morning, the National Education Fund Corporation, or PTPTN as it is better known, has set up incentives for employers to repay the PTPTN loans of its employees. And this was introduced back in Budget 2019, effective January 1st this year. So employers who helped employees settle their PTPTN loans would receive tax exemptions regardless of the amount of repayment.
Yep, there are also conditions attached to ensure that employers do not abuse the incentives granted to them while repaying employees' PTPTN loans. Companies will be allowed to enjoy unlimited tax exemption until the 31st of December this year.
And there's no cap on the exemptions.
There is no cap on the exemption. And unlike the EPF contribution cap, right, employers' portion of the contribution, there is a cap at 19% of the staff salaries. But With this one, there is no cap. So if your PTPTN debt is, let's say, 20,000 and the company pays that for you, they can claim taxes for that. But I'm not sure whether this will be a dip in the ocean or a drop in the ocean in terms of solving the PTPTN problem, which is very costly for the government, right? We're talking about tens of billions of dollars and increasing as well if we don't arrest this problem.
So, I mean, if this were to go, if this were to be successful, and if this were to have enough, interest by companies, it's like wholesale, isn't it? It's just being able to just put lump sum. I mean, the amount of money that PTPTN could save with regards to trying to get back all the scattered loans, there could be something here.
Essentially, the government, though, would be subsidizing part of the PTPTN repayment. And to learn more about this morning, we have on the line with us Mastura Mohamed Khalid, Chief Operating Officer of PTPTN. Thank you for joining us, Mastura. So first of all, could you tell us a little bit more about this incentive?
Under the budget 2019, the government has announced that employers who pay the PTPTN loan for their employees can get tax relief. So this covers all employers who are doing business and pay tax under the Tax Act 1967. The terms and condition is very straightforward. Number one, the employer pay or repay the loan on behalf of their staff or employee. The employee must be a full-time employee. And finally, the employer cannot charge or cannot ask any repayment or reimbursement from the employee. This is they pay or as a gift as employer to their employee.
So how much tax relief does the employer get? Are we to understand that there is no limit to this?
Yes, okay. This is what we are talking about, tax relief. So the calculation of the tax is actually depend on the rate that they are charged for the tax. So this is actually the amount is calculated full amount of what they pay. It means that the total, if they pay 50,000, so the 50,000 is excluded when they calculate for the tax calculation. There is no minimum and also no maximum. Whatever they pay, they can get tax relief.
And what is the risk associated with this then? Are you moving the risk on the loan borrowed by the employee to the employer? And what happens when the employees leave?
Okay, well, I guess it is like this. This incentive is actually a gift to the employer. So maybe if they want to reward any of their employee who have done good job in the office, so this is one of the option for them. So paying the loan for the staff as a gift, and this can make their staff more loyal to the company. So we are not talking, I think in terms of risk, when they pay the loan, they already know the risk or whether the staff leave the company or whatnot.
And Mastura, this initiative has been in place since the 1st of January. So what has been the take-up rate since its announcement last year?
This incentive announced last year, but actually we only in August we start aggressively doing the promote this incentive because it is just gazetted in the law, in the text. Because if we promote it earlier, people will ask us where is the law, where is the approval. So it is just the gazette is just coming out.
And the window for the incentive is slated at the end of the year. So we see it being extended to the next year. What, you know, would you like for it to be extended?
I think this is a good plan, a good incentive for both. It is a win-win situation, both for the employer and for the employee. So, of course, we hope that it will be extended until 2020.
Thank you so much, Mastura. And that was Mastura Mohamed Khalid, the COO of PTPTN. And as she highlighted, this is discouraging, essentially, employers from asking for any kind of repayment or reimbursement. So it would be done as a gift, as she says, or I guess, you know, as a sort of a corporate social responsibility initiative, right?
Yeah, I wonder how far this would go in terms of mileage to either the CSR initiatives of the company or in terms of solving the government PTPT and debt, right? As it stands now, it's about 40 billion and forecasted to rise to about 75 billion in a couple of years if we don't arrest the situation. Whether employers would rush in droves to pay off this for the sake of tax deductibility. And also, I think as far as the talent issue is concerned, right, to retain talent, whether this goes in some ways to really attract the talent from PTPT and borrowers, because if they were, I guess this, I got to be really careful in saying this, right? Do they have jobs right now? Are they very marketable? Because if they were, they should be able to pay back some of their loans.
Are you saying that the fact that they don't have a job is a reflection on their ability to do those jobs?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
But at the moment, they're not obligated. They're still not obligated. I mean, they are obligated to pay, but they haven't paid yet as of now. So, I mean, there's no incentive. I mean, why do they have to? Does it appeal to them to begin with for... What I mean, okay, look, so right now, all those workers, those who are employed and those who are not employed, they are still, we're talking about those who have yet to pay for the PTPTN loan.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for all these companies, for them to be able, to be attracted to this offer by the employer, they first have to feel the pressure of actually paying.
Absolutely.
The loan, right?
So that's the biggest problem for me is that enforcement is still lacking on the repayment of
PTPTN
loans.
So that has to come first.
Absolutely. So
before they want to introduce any
other... Before you offer these kinds of incentives, you know, who's to encourage people right now who are PTPTN borrowers who are not paying their loans to take up these offers by the finance ministry or by companies, because currently it's not as if they clearly, you know, at least more than half of them haven't paid a single cent.
Well, they don't have the ability to. I mean, don't forget that we have a very high rate of graduate unemployment, right?
Is it that they don't have the ability to, or that we're lacking in civic responsibility?
No, I think a lot of them don't have the ability to, which is why when I interviewed Wan Sai for Wan Zhan, he put forward the idea of the 10 ideas that came in that really addressed the different nuance of groups of people according to their ability to pay or not, right? And there is a big group of people who can't repay. I mean, forget about those who have the ability to repay and don't, right? I mean, and those people, shame on you, right? You should.
Separate problem entirely.
Yeah, separate problem. But we are really addressing a social problem here and the question of whether education is a public good or is this a commercial product.
But I think that particular issue has been addressed. For those who are earning less than 2,000 or not even earning, they are not obligated to pay at the moment.
Right
and
now,
the cap, what they're proposing is that the percentage of amount that you have to pay back increases over time as you earn more. So I think government, PTPTN, but at least they are aware of the situation that there are those who are not able to pay yet because they're not employed, but it's more addressing. So the figure must be the amount of those who has money and not paying.
Indeed. And we did ask you what you thought about this subject, whether or not the government should do this. We had about 340 votes. So far, the no votes are in the lead. 60% of respondents have voted no, the government shouldn't do this. Just shy of 30% said yes. Very quickly, in the room today, Julian, where do you stand on this?
Oh, I don't think this will go very far in terms of addressing the PTP and debt levels. But I'm on the yes camp. I think that in some way we have to fund education. I mean, we don't collect taxes just to hoard the money, but we got to spend it on something.
I'm on the yes camp as well. I think that employers could use this as a way to attract, talent in some way. So there is room. But again, it's the process. Something has to be done first before this is introduced.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your responses on the poll this morning. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.